and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the zone
is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
Right, a Friday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, Dylan Michaels. We head up until 2 o'clock. A lot of stuff to get into, a lot of stuff to talk about today. It will be a jam-packed show, as you can expect, on a Friday Radio Row with Westwood One, as we will have our final day broadcasting from Radio Row today up until 2 o'clock. We've got a packed show with guests that will be stopping by that we will be talking to, and the schedule, if it works out, how everybody being a part of the show, we'll see. Hopefully that is the case. We will talk with Matt Derrick today, as we typically do on a Friday. That comes up at 11 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs, get his thoughts on the latest with Rashee Rice, his lawyer speaking yesterday, some of the takeaways and reactions from the things his lawyer had to say. We'll talk with Matt Derrick about that, Clyde Edwards-Helaire returning to the Chiefs, and some other pieces of information, but we'll only do one segment with Matt Derrick today, because typically an hour, because we're going to be talking with Kevin Kugler in the 11 o'clock hour. We'll be talking with Robbie Hummel coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. The noon hour will be packed as well. Expected to hear from Jason Horowitz, studio analyst, host for Westwood One during the NCAA tournament, also voice of the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll talk with Jason Horowitz about some basketball, about some football as well. We'll talk with Bryce Drew, head coach of Grand Canyon, an interesting tie-in in the fact that he went defeated, winless in SEC play a few years ago, which is what Missouri and Dennis Gates are dealing with in going 0-18 in conference play. So talk to Bryce Drew about being the head coach of Grand Canyon the last 4 years, making three tournaments, winning a game in the tournament this year, and looking back at his time at Vanderbilt and how you keep everybody trying to row in the same direction while going winless night after night after night after night. We'll talk with Bryce Drew about that. Mark Pope expected to join us his first year in the Big 12 at BYU. An unfortunate first-round loss in the NCAA tournament to Duquesne. But we'll talk with Mark Pope about this year and also the incoming teams in the Big 12. So, hey, first year in the Big 12, don't get used to the schedule you just played, because Oklahoma, Texas are leaving, and you've got four new teams coming in to the Big 12. We talk every year with Jim Jackson. We will do that today as well. He will be color analyst tomorrow on the broadcast that you'll hear right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll hear from P.J. Carlissimo. We'll talk with Phil Martelli, always one of our favorite interviews. He's fantastic to talk with, so hopefully that's a fun one. I don't know, maybe we talk some Eagles with Phil Martelli, since he's a Philly guy. James Jones, the Yale head coach, is always a good interview as well. So that's how it lines up. And then coming up tonight, the Reese's All-Star Game, NABC All-Star Game, and a couple of local players participating in that. Sean East and Tyler Perry participating in the Reese's NABC All-Star Game. So we will talk with them coming up later on this hour. So the show will get rolling very soon with the different guests we will have, along with talking with Matt Derrick today at 11 o'clock. So still mixing in some of our regular scheduled programming. 913-912-4810 is the text line. 913-912-4810, text line to join us, to be a part of the show, part of the conversation. Let's go ahead and get into it, because a lot of stuff to talk about today. We start with the Royals getting the win yesterday against the White Sox, and a landslide. Look, if you don't want to worry about the bullpen blowing a game, just simply blow the game open before the bullpen has an opportunity to take a hand in that game. The starting pitching has been brilliant. We've talked about the brilliance of the starting pitching. And the last two games the Royals have played at Kauffman Stadium, they have won 21-1. Outscoring their opponents, not worrying about a bullpen, a shutout, giving up only one run yesterday for Seth Lugo, and it just continues the trend, continues the passing the baton to the next guy in line for the starting staff, the starting rotation, which right now number two in Major League Baseball. Hey, small sample size. Take a drink, everybody. Take a sip if you are thirsty, if you are parched. Small sample size in baseball. Therefore, we take a drink. A shot if you're out there. I don't care. 5 o'clock somewhere. ERA, number two in baseball. WHIP, number two in baseball. K percentage, number eight in baseball. Walk percentage, number nine in baseball. Strikeout to walk percentage, number seven in baseball. That's the starting staff of the Royals. Completely unexpected from this degree, this level of play. We thought, you know, Cole Reagans, what the expectations were for him, a potential Cy Young Award winner. He's been dynamite in his two starts. Michael Wacha bringing him in, a professional starting pitcher that you know every 5 days is going to give you a chance to win. Seth Lugo, we've now seen him for two starts. He's been fantastic. Brady Singer, he will go today. We'll see what Brady Singer can do in his second start this year, coming off of what was a step back last year after taking a pretty big step forward in 2022. Can he then pick up from that 2022 season? And if it was all last year about the World Baseball Classic and him not getting any innings in the World Baseball Classic, sitting there watching games instead of preparing for the season, and then the Royals saying his spring training was April and May, and it got him off to such a rough start, and he just wasn't that same pitcher if not for the World Baseball Classic. Well, we'll see. It's one start down. He's got his second start coming up tonight, and the fact that he threw that four-seam fastball as often as he did against left-handers, we have discussed ad nauseum about Brady Singer. Can he develop a third pitch? It's just, you know, sinker, slider, sinker, slider, sinker, slider. Boy, he's got a great he's got great stuff for an eighth inning or ninth inning guy. But can he be a guy that can go six or seven innings with just sinker, slider? Go develop the changeup. Go down in the minor leagues. Develop the changeup. Why isn't he throwing the changeup? Does he have trust in the changeup? He's not throwing it. It's only two pitches. Now he's got the four-seam, and he used it predominantly against left-handed batters. That's the point about the changeup, is how do you get lefties out? And now he's throwing that four-seam against lefties, which looked brilliant in that first start. So hopefully it's the same thing. The Chicago White Sox are a pretty bad baseball team. And what happened last night is what the Royals need to do over the next 3 days, three games against the White Sox, to go and get the wins, to rack up those wins, because we talk about, you know, getting healthy against certain teams. Other teams used to look at the Royals the way that the teams and the Royals can look at the White Sox now. That's how the Royals used to be viewed from other teams. Opportunity to get healthy. Can you go out there and get some wins? Last night was a big deal, and we'll see what Brady Singer can continue to do, because Brady Singer talked about last time he's the only start this season, I didn't want to be the one that sucked. I didn't want to be the worst part. And that has been building on itself. Every single starter that goes to the mound is, well, I don't want to be the one to stop this gravy train. I don't want to be the one that, you know, kills this role. Got seven starts from these starters, and they've all been really, really good. The only, you know, couple of starts that we've talked about that have, you know, given up two or three runs have been Cole Reagans and Michael Wacha. Cole Reagans with two runs in his first outing and then comes back against the Orioles on Wednesday and was awesome. Michael Wacha, three, you know, earned runs, coming back and pitching well. Now Brady Singer, Alec Marsh the next couple of days before you get back around to a Cole Reagans again. So the next three games for the Royals, opportunities to go and get to 500, above 500, before getting ready for the Houston Astros. We've talked about the starting staff. The offense, though, also deserves recognition because of what they're doing. MJ Melendez, his start to the season. Guy was awful first half of the season, first two-thirds of the season last year. What were the reasons? A lot of different people weighing in on what that could be. But he's been good. Nelson Velasquez, with the just easy power that he provides to the team. Bobby Witt has been a star so far this year. Michael Garcia, extra base hit after extra base hit. You know, hitting almost as many home runs right now through seven games as he did last year. Four home runs last year, he's got three already through seven games. And I didn't realize this last year, but Michael Garcia, as a guy who was in the leadoff spot last year almost the entire season for the Royals, had zero games with multiple extra base hits in the same game. Zero. He's got one already, and I guarantee you he'll have more. But it's just a fascinating stat that last year, you go through all of last year, every single game, and he didn't have one game where he put a couple of doubles out there on the board. a triple with, you know, his speed, a home run and a double, run into one, a blooper to right field that you stretch a single into a double, and you already have another ripped double in a game, not one time. And he's done that already this year, and he's going to do it more because he is ripping extra base hits, setting the table for guys behind him, and Vinny Pasquantino hasn't even really got rolling, and a guy who's your number three hitter. There's clearly an excitement for this team. The bullpen has been the issue. It's been the issue. And last night we didn't get an opportunity to see if the bullpen can get on the right track. Because they're, you know, one of the worst bullpens in baseball. Just look at, if we talk about the numbers for the starting staff, it's, you know, as good as the starters have been, as bad as the relievers have been. And whether we look at it just one or two guys, regardless, those are high leverage guys. So those are the ones that matter in situations where how do you protect the lead? It's easy when you're winning 10-1. It's easy when you're winning 11-0 to go out there and just, I'm not going to walk somebody. I'm just going to throw, you know, these, get these innings eater. Jordan Lyles, a couple of outings in Laffers. Great. You know, maybe he develops into a guy that can be reliable, into a guy that can be productive, can be a help in the bullpen if he's only got to worry about one or maybe two innings. So we'll see. But Michael Massey starting a rehab assignment today, and that's the other thing. His second base has been manned by Adam Frazier. And if you add in Michael Massey and another bat to the lineup, you start to elongate this thing, and it looks even better. So I'm pumped, excited for what this team – yes, I was frustrated yesterday about the bullpen. That's the element of this team that is lacking. They've got to pick up the slack. They've got to figure some things out. Matt Quatrero has to figure some things out. Who is he going to? Who can he trust? Who's going to bring it that night? That has to be figured out. Michael Massey going on a rehab assignment. We'll see how long he's going to be out. And then Nick Prado swinging the bat pretty well down in AAA, you know, continuing what he was doing. We talked about it at the end of spring training. What's Nick Prado going to do when he gets to AAA? Well, he's continued that. Getting on base at 440, has a couple of doubles already, 7 for 21 at the plate. OPSing, you know, almost 900 at AAA so far. So he's continued that, which helps that if somebody were to start struggling, Velasquez hasn't done that, MJ Melendez hasn't done that, but those were sort of the guys. If one of these guys is going to start struggling, Nick Prado, if he can continue doing that down in the minors, there's some depth for you. He is at least doing that. So there's the Royals. Another part of the Royals is the vote. The renovations, new stadium, downtown, in Kansas, North Kansas City, Arrowhead, that situation and discussion that's been going on for a couple of years now. Marnie Sherman, wife of John Sherman. Marnie Sherman writes on her Facebook page, responding to comments. I didn't see this until, you know, last night it started making its rounds. But Marnie Sherman writes in a public forum, quote, "Unfortunately, neither team will work with Jackson County again. They had been working behind the scenes for 2 years attempting to get a location approved, which was, I think, Frank White's plan all along. In any case, most unfortunate for sports fans in KC. The lack of leadership has lost the city two treasured assets. I mean, if you don't support the Chiefs after three Super Bowl wins, why would they stay? We will be lucky if both teams wind up in Kansas, at least still in the area," end quote, from the wife of Royals owner John Sherman. I think this is speaking out of turn, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, she's passing along information that has taken place behind the scenes with her and her husband. She's not just making these things up of issues that have gone on for the last couple of years. She's not just making things up of where the frustration may be with the organizations. And yes, there's frustration from the fans with the organizations, but no doubt there's frustration from the organization side to Jackson County, to the city, whether that be to the mayor, to Frank White, whether they were dragging their feet. Maybe this was the plan all along from Frank White, that he just did not want to have the downtown ballpark. Maybe it just wanted to be obstructionist. That's been at least an allegation that's been levied at Frank White throughout this process. Is he still upset about the way that his, you know, relationship with the Royals ended? And this is the way to sort of get back at the Royals. That's certainly been an allegation that's out there. People have accused him of doing that. But this is, to me, I think there's frustration that's certainly dripping from these comments. I don't think it means that the Royals and Chiefs are definitely gone, but I certainly think it presents and represents the feeling right now with the organization. I would say especially the immediate raw feeling of the voters voting no. I don't know where the Royals end up. I don't know where the Chiefs end up. I think they'll end up in the metro area. I think they'll end up, I hope the Royals still end up downtown. I want a downtown ballpark. I don't know where the Chiefs will end up. I still think it's best for Jackson County to have the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County. It's best for the region to have the Chiefs and Royals in the region. But let's not act like if they leave Jackson County, it's going to be great for the county. No, the county's going to be great now. Oh, Jackson, now they're going to fix all the problems. Why are you going to give this stuff to the billionaires when you've got homeless, you got school district issues, you've got infrastructure issues? Well, you should definitely take these two teams out of Jackson County and then stop the 3/8-cent sales tax, and then you're going to fix the stuff how? By raising your taxes? Like, where's the money going to come from then? Because this is a 3/8-cent sales tax that anybody that's going to be shopping in Jackson County, which, by the way, the teams bring to Jackson County for people that go and spend their money there to help pay for it. When that's gone, where does the money come from when you say, well, why don't you take that money and give it to this or that over there? Okay, it doesn't just transfer over like that. The 3/8-cent tax is specifically for the stadiums. You would then have to put it on the ballot and pass that for that 3/8-cent tax to then go for other things. And we'll see if people vote for it. But you got to vote for yes for it. And then you got to trust the people in charge that they are going to put it to where you think they should put it. Because now you're going to have different hands in the pot of saying, no, it should go over here, it should go over there. Well, you know what? This deal isn't great for the school system. This deal isn't great for the infrastructure. This deal isn't great for solving the homeless issue in Kansas City. The region will be fine because you're just moving money around in the region. But if you're talking specifically a county issue, we'll see. I still hope the Royals end up in Jackson County. I don't know where the Chiefs are going to end up. I'll be fine paying my share if they end up on the Kansas side. First and foremost, not leaving the area. That's the main thing. I do want to get into a little bit of Rashee Rice as we continue with the show. We're going to take a timeout, though, and on the other side, we're going to start the conversations we're having here at the Final Four. Coming up tonight, the Reese's All-Star Game, the NABC All-Star Game, a couple of local players, Sean East from the Missouri Tigers playing in the game. We'll talk to him coming up next, and then we'll wrap up the hour here in the 10 o'clock hour today with point guard for Kansas State, Tyler Perry. We'll talk with him about this past season. A couple of different conversations. We'll do that coming up next here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you, hanging out on this Friday edition of the show. And talking now with somebody who will be participating in the Reese's All-Star Game, the NABC All-Star Game. Missouri fans familiar with Sean East joining us here in the zone. Sean, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. You, man. It's an honor to be here, man. I appreciate you having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, man. How cool is it to get an opportunity to play in this game?
It's a wonderful opportunity. You know, all these people out here for the Final Four, and we just get to enjoy the fruits of the labor.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I'll sort of ask, you know, what life's been like since the season is wrapped up, and now you're, you know, looking at the next phase of your life. What's that been like for you?
I took a week or two off, got my body real rested and well, and then, you know, right at it. I got this, and then I got Portsmouth coming up the 17th through 20th, so nice. Things are starting to pick up.
Absolutely. Take us back, if you will. I know Missouri fans, there was a lot of excitement of what this season could be building off of last year. As you look at, the season that was, how do you describe what the season ended up being for you guys?
A very good learning experience, and just to know how to come in every day when things aren't going well, mm-hmm. to give your all, and know that something's good is going to come out of it, whether you're going to learn some things, you know, mentally, physically, just coming and being present every day and learning all you can, no matter what's the what's going on outside or, you know, the results. Don't focus on the results, but being in love with the process.
How difficult is that? Because, I mean, you guys were close. You guys were right there in games. And I know extra frustrating for you guys, but right there in games. And how difficult is that to, okay, let's start over again to get ready for the next one?
It's a mentality that you got to take on. And I give a shout out to Coach Gates and the staff. They came in with the attitude, and we just tried to follow that and come out and fight hard every day and learn and get better. You know what I mean? It wasn't the perfect season that we wanted, but everybody got better, and they're going to move on, and they're going to have a good, excellent season next year.
You think
year.
So?
Yes, sir.
I mean, obviously, I hope so. Missouri fans hope so. What was it like playing for Dennis Gates, and why did you choose Missouri and Dennis Gates a couple years ago?
That's why I chose Missouri. I chose Missouri because of Dennis Gates. He wanted me. As soon as he got the job, he called me. Called me as soon as he got off the stage.
Really?
So, and he FaceTimed me, showed me. He's like, hey, I just got off the stage, man. I want you as my point guard. So, I mean, immediately that showed me that he wanted me, had interest in me, and we just built a relationship, and it's nothing like playing for a coach like who believes in you. The staff's amazing. Mm-hmm. From CY to Coach Cal Smith, Peter, Charbaugh, Klein, all of them, like, they just embrace you and want you to get better each and every day and develop you in a ways that, I mean, can't explain. I mean well, the numbers explain, but they develop you, and they care about you on and off the court.
Did you believe that was inside you, that what you were able to do this year for Mizzou, taking the step forward in your game and scoring the way that you did, shooting the way that you did, from a guy that went to, you know, junior college to, you know, being a role player to, okay, now, you know, sort of it's your team. Did you know that was inside of you, that you had that potential at that level?
Yes, I did. But I mean, my coaches allowed me to, you know, they put me in spots. They developed me, like, from the jump from this year to last year, man. We stayed in the gym each and every day. We grinded. So, I mean, the coaches, I got to give a shout-out to the coaches and also my teammates for also believing in me, man. They put me in positions to win and, you know, just gave me the ball in the right times. And, you know, I put the work in, but, you know, it was a village.
Do you often sit back and go, why'd you let me get to my left? Why'd you let me get to, come on, man. You're toast. You're done.
Whatever they give me, man, we're going to try to take it, man. Yeah.
Just don't let them go left. All right, went left, you're toast, man. And then that little teardrop, man.
Yes, sir.
How long does that take to sort of, is that a natural thing? Is that sort of a touch thing?
Grew up on it doing hot shot.
Oh, yeah. Papa shot, little?
Yep. So from there, I just took it. Took it, man.
So your floater came from Papa Shot?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Got to get an NIL deal or something with that. Got to create my own hot shot.
Yeah, that's awesome. In the Shawn East Papa Shot. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, I mean, do you run some people at the Papa Shot?
Anybody who wants to.
Really?
They can get it. I'm probably going to get 100, so... If you can't get 100, then you can't.
Don't even try.
Yeah, don't even try.
Don't even try. Yeah. That's phenomenal. Maybe 100 in a game sometime. I don't know. We'll see, man.
Yep.
You know, Shawn East is our guest and Missouri Tiger, and it wasn't the best of seasons, obviously, in making it through the SEC. You know, what was the team like behind the scenes? What was Dennis Gates like as you guys were fighting through? Because I've talked about it a number of times that it's not, you know, a moral victory, and it's not to try to, you know, wrap something up that's been, you know, less than a stellar season. But every game, you guys were there. You guys were fighting. There didn't seem like ever a letting go of the rope and just simply saying, all right, the season's toast, we're done.
Our coach, Coach Gates, man, you got to applaud him. He comes in with the same attitude each and every day, even when we was winning. I mean, when we win, he had the same attitude. When we lose, we had the same attitude. It's because it's always hard. It's always trying to get better. It's never perfect. I mean, I experienced a 25 and 10 team, and the same way he was last year is the same way he was this year. Like, he doesn't change, man. He doesn't waver. He was on us. We just didn't complete the mission all the time. So I mean, but he's a great guy. I mean, it started with him, and the attitude he took on every day. And showed us how to, you know, we just followed it, man. And we came up short a little bit.
How difficult is the sort of the transfer portal era? You know, you come from junior college and then you play at Mizzou. A number of transfers come in. A number of people, you know, whether head pro or Mo that's now with NC State, you know. And you guys get a number of transfers in there. Like, It seems incredibly difficult to sort of gain that sort of that chemistry mm-hmm. that can be there, to which helps in those last 5 minutes, those winning plays that take place. And you see some of the teams that are, you know, here, teams that have the same guys on mm-hmm. the court and around each other a while. How difficult is that? Because you played on like almost three completely different teams in the last 3 years.
Yeah. I would like to give a shout out to Mo. congrats on him. Hopefully they make it to the championship and win it. But
it'd be nice to have Mo on the team this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, very nice. It's very hard, but you just gotta adapt, man. That's just how the basketball game is coming into. So me as a personally, I get lost in every day and the relationships and the people, just trying to figure out that the ways that we can stay connected and just grow as a team, because it is new. So mm-hmm. when you got six or seven guys, you got to find something that each guy likes or the team likes to, connect the team and bond with that team, because that's what you want. It's a team that, has an opportunity for a goal, and they got to be on one page, man. So yeah. It's hard to do, but it's definitely doable.
Sean East is our guest. So last year happens, it's over, or the year before, I should say, and Kobe goes pro, Des Moines gone. At that point, did Dennis Gates come up to you and say, it's your team? What's that like, to where it's a transition to where you and Noah and Nick are like the guys that'll be there to lead this next group?
Come again?
After you guys lose in the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. Kobe goes pro and Des Moines gone, it's you, it's Noah, and it's Nick Honor. Mm-hmm. Is that where, like, Dennis Gates comes up to you and says, all right, it's your team, you guys take control, you guys are the leaders here? Or is it sort of an understood sort of element of somebody's got to fill that role, somebody now needs to step up and be that guy?
I think it was kind of, whoever wanted to step up, and it just happened to be me.
Yeah.
It wasn't really like, oh, this is such and such a team, it just the way the game was going, I kind of fell into that role. I don't think nobody expected it. I mean, I kind of expected it myself, but we was the three seniors, so yeah. We had to instill that culture and everything that we had learned from Gates and try to instill it to the freshmen and the seven new guys or whatever we had this year. So, I mean, it was a difficult task, but, I ain't going to never forget this season. But
good and bad?
Good and bad. It's all right, man. You can't complain when it gets ugly, man, because it's gonna shine soon.
Was there a mantra of like just win one, like just find a way to win one,
sure.
Or was it just win the game?
For sure, just win. We wasn't worried about nothing else but that game or that day.
Yeah.
Win this practice. We gotta get small victories when things is bad. And you can't look in the head, can't look ahead or in the past. You just gotta focus on it now and keep, chopping wood, what Coach Gates would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been trying to tell people about how good Sean East is. I watched you back when people were watching Romeo Langford.
Yeah.
And it was like, everybody showing up for Romeo Langford. Well, there's Sean.
Yeah.
Sean East doing his thing. And I always wondered, because when you guys would play Kentucky, like, they'd never bring it up and talk about how, Sean East growing up there, across the river in Louisville. It never came up in the conversations on the broadcast. I'm like, come on, man. I know he probably wants to win this game a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more into this this motivation to play this team.
Yeah. I mean, not everybody knows my story, what I mean? So it's one day to get out, the more I keep going. So it's beautiful to see where I'm at now and how far I've came, but just knowing there's, more to go.
Sean East, Missouri guard, and you'll be playing in the game coming up tonight. Very much appreciate the time, man. Big fan, and I know the season wasn't what everybody hoped, but it was a lot of fun watching you play the last couple of years.
Man, I appreciate you following me, and keep following me. We're going to do great things.
Absolutely. There's Sean East. We'll take a timeout, come back, and continue more Zone next.
Yes, sir.
All right, we continue here at Radio Row in Phoenix. The Final Four going on. The women in action tonight. The men get in action tomorrow with the Final Four. Also tonight, the Reese's All-Star Game, the NABC All-Star Game, and a familiar face for K-State fans, Tyler Perry, be playing in that game, and he is with us here at Radio Row. Tyler, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, man. What's it like getting ready to play in this this All-Star game and with a number of other college kids across the
country? Man, it's just a blessing to be out here in an atmosphere like this, and not just being around so many great talent and the players, but so many great coaches. You walk around and you see, John Calipari and, Bill Self and the other greats and Jerome Tang. So just to be able to walk around this much talent and run room as far as coaches and players and, you know, it's just a blessing to be here.
Yeah, Tyler Perry is our guest. How, you know, you look back to the season, obviously it wasn't the season that you guys were hoping for, but for you personally, coming into K-State, going to Manhattan, playing for Jerome Tang, what was the year like for you?
Like I said, again, a blessing. I wouldn't trade it for the world, and I know we had ups and downs, and I know it didn't go the way we expected it to, but, you know, that's what happens sometimes in the course of a season. You never know what could happen. Losing Naquan Tomlin, Quez Glover, everybody knows, you know, that wasn't, you know, the plans going in. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows our season looks completely different with those two in our lineup. So you gotta take the wins and losses the same and take every journey the same. You got to enjoy it and not get too high and get too low. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity that K-State fans and the coaches gave me.
How do you guys, you know, sort of keep it within the group, within the team, with Naquan and what happened there, is to not sort of let the outside or anything bitter come in with how that thing went down?
Just rallying around each other, and not just each other, we rallied around him. Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, he moved on, we still stayed in touch, and Quan watched us, and he was our biggest fan, we were his biggest fan, we rooted for each other, and we understood that, you know, sometimes life just happens. And yeah. You know, we had to adapt very quickly. We had to find out who we were on the inside and not get rattled by what everybody was saying. And so, you know, you got to get your hats off to that team. And we fought so hard until the very end, and we did everything we could to try to make a tournament push, but we just fell short. And as long as you leave everything out there, you can live with the results.
What was Jerome Tang like in that moment when you guys find out now it's reality that Naquan's not going to be there with you guys?
The head of our snake never got rattled. And Coach Tang did a tremendous job in keeping us together and rallying us together. And I don't know too many coaches in the world that could have did what he did for that team. And for him to stay as level-headed as he did with so much that was thrown at him from all different ways and all different sides, and, you know, fans, I'm sure, let him have it and what he should do and what he shouldn't do. And so and then having to deal with take 18, 19, 20-year-old kids and, you know, deal with their emotions with losing a brother. So, like I said, I don't know too many coaches that would have rallied that team together like he did.
Tyler Perry is our guest, K-State guard, playing in the Reese's NABC All-Star game coming up tonight. What was it about Jerome Tang that got you to K-State to play for the Wildcats?
Just who he is as a person. It was easy to look at the X's and O's, what he did with Marquise Noel, and, you know, be drawn to that. But when I talked to him on the phone and met him in person, the type of man he was, the type of husband he was, the way he treated his the way he treated his staff, and how really connected they were, and not just in front of the camera, but behind closed doors, you could tell it was a real family and real love, and it was genuine with him. And you know, we still talk all the time. I just FaceTimed yesterday. He'll be out here today. And so,
awesome.
You know, it's just a blessing to have somebody like that in your corner. Not too many head coaches want to be. They're not in this job to be a friend or to, you know, have a relationship when this is all said and done. But Coach Tang emphasizes that. Basketball is second, but teaching you guys how to be a men of faith is first.
And how much of the flopping was a big part of that with Jerome Tang?
Yeah, he definitely made sure I knew about it every time I did it. It's funny though, because it started in practice, and he would tell our GAs to stop calling fouls for me, and when the refs started doing it, you know, every time I would do it, he would let me have it. So, but that was just him trying to make me better, and, you know, I think I became better for it.
He didn't like it even when he got the foul call?
Oh, he hated it. He hated it.
So when you got the foul, did he hate it more if he got the foul call?
Because he would say, I can't protect you now if you really do get fouled and they call it. So he was like, so you need to stop doing it. But he hated every part of it.
That's amazing. And how easy was it for you to so that? I mean, it sort of happens. It's part of the game, right? I mean, you see that with different people. Maybe not the biggest one. I don't know. You said Iowa State as the biggest
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, for sure. It was just you know, part of who I was coming in. And, you know, sometimes it was intentionally, sometimes it wasn't. But, you know, a lot of times I felt like, you know, I wasn't – there would be times I wouldn't get a fair whistle. So I had to show the ref, you know. Yeah. Maybe
you're
sometimes,
a smaller dude.
Yeah, for sure. And so, and the Big 12 is no joke.
Yeah.
Everybody's bigger than I was. And so, like I said, it wasn't intentional, but, like, he definitely made me – he told me to be good enough to where they didn't have to call fouls.
That's a great way to look at it. Tyler Perry is our guest. I know you mentioned you fought to try to make it into the tournament. What was the night like on February 5th in overtime, knocking off Kansas at home?
One of the greatest feelings in the world. I know K-State fans care about that game more than they care about making the tournament, some of them for sure. But one of the greatest feelings in the world to be a part of a rivalry like that and to be part of history like that. You know, that was one of the biggest things. I didn't want to leave K-State without saying I knocked off Kansas. And so I hate that Coach Tang didn't let him storm the court that night, But
he gave him one last year.
He gave him one last year. He said that. I told him to let him, but he was not going for it because, you know, he expects that. And he expects to win games like that. And, you know, we beat four top 10 teams this year, and I think we have five top 25 wins. Mm-hmm. And so he expects to win games like that. And that's why he set the program like that, and that's why they'll continue to, you know, make leaps.
Tyler Perry is our guest. How close were you to going to Central Missouri?
Wow.
Because, I mean, I went to Northwest Missouri State.
That is crazy that you know that. Yeah, so I was a week away from signing, from, like, about to commit and then sign immediately because I didn't want to wait anymore. And I actually called Coach K.
Yeah.
Is he still there?
No, not anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I called him trying to take my visit, and I was going to commit and sign on my visit. And he just so happened to not answer the phone when I called him. And then Coach Hurt called me literally that same night and was like, can you get up here by Monday or whatever, whenever the day was. Mm-hmm. It was on a Monday. And I was like, yeah, I'll be up there. And, I was literally like about a week away from going to Central Missouri.
How do you think your life turns out? Are you at K-State or are you at North Texas?
Like, absolutely not. I mean, I'll probably spend 4 years at Central Missouri unless, you know, the portal comes out when I'm at Princeton.
Yeah, true.
Who knows? COVID hits, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Who knows? So,
I don't know. You might have beat my Bearcats, so I'm glad you didn't go to
UCM, with Trevor over there. Yeah,
yeah,
so
that'd have been a matchup. You and Trevor going
so
back.
Who knows?
Forth.
Like, what could have happened? Me and Trevor seeing each other for a couple years, and it's amazing how life works and how God works. And as you can see, like, I was supposed to be exactly where I was, and that's why I have no regrets about my K-State travel. And you know, I'm blessed no matter what. And I knew my journey is my journey.
At what point in your life did the jokes about Tyler Perry become old?
Probably when I hit college.
Okay.
They calmed down a little bit my senior year in high school, but once I got back to college, people was like, thought I was lying to them. Every time I talk to somebody new and they say my name, like, they think I'm lying. So, like I said, it don't bother me no more. I get it. And I'm sure getting to this next level is may they'll come in more and people will make more big of a deal out of it. So it's all good.
I interviewed Jerome Tang at the Big 12 Media Days this year, and we play it back and make fun of me a little bit. But I swear, like, in real life, in front of me, he laughed at it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sound like that on the air. But I said, you know, Tyler Perry with you guys, I mean, I'm assuming he's going to play a lot of different roles for you.
Right.
And he did one of those, like, shook his head, like, okay, I get it.
Right.
I got it. But on the air, it sounded like it was just dead air.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, well, that that went over well.
Well, Dream Dallin, assistant coach, walks around calling me Madea every day anyway. So, I mean, it's all good. Yeah.
Madea hits a three.
Yeah.
Madea goes to the lane.
It's worse if I get going. You know, thank you, Madea, whatever. Like, Madea goes again. It's so Reem makes a joke out of it every day, so I mean, it's okay.
All right, very good. Tyler Perry, the basketball Tyler Perry,
for
the
sure.
good one. The one that's controlling everything, the one that's controlling the cast of
Absolutely.
Characters. Yeah, Tyler Perry playing in the game tonight. Best of luck, man. Thank you for stopping by. I appreciate it. It was fun watching you play there in Manhattan, and best of luck as you continue on the next phase of your life.
Yes,
man.
Sir. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right, Tyler Perry there, point guard for the Kansas State Wildcats, are now playing in that game coming up tonight, Reese's NABC All-Star Game. We will take a timeout, come back. We'll continue rolling more zone right after this.